It's like on LinkedIn when people reach out to you and the next thing you know, they're like trying to shove their product down.
I got a workshop coming up next week.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to
sign
up?
I was like, who the hell are you?
I don't even know your name.
Exactly. It's like, you know, yeah. I meet you for the first time and I'm trying to pitch a marriage proposal.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Can we get to first base at least first? You know? Work ourselves around bases.
Right. No, that's funny. Yeah. It's crazy. A lot of people don't get that, like how big the relationship part is. And it's like the long game. And people just like, they want to push. And they do it on social media. I know probably know too. Like, I say it all the time. It's like, you know, like Gary Vee says, you know, jab, jab, right hook. You give, 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 then you ask. But you don't just say, hey, I got this, I got that, and buy this, buy that.
Yeah.
You know, you turn people off from that. So.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I see that all the time. Like,
you're an entrepreneur, and you make vital decisions that hopefully blossom into a business. You're the savvy, out-of-the-box risk-taker who believes wholeheartedly in the process of innovation. Innovation that will change the world. This is CEO Chat with Gresham Harkless, and you're about to embark on a journey through the awesome world of business. Gresham is the epitome of drive and desire as he works to help support small businesses and entrepreneurship. And you're about to learn from this entrepreneur how you can improve your odds of success in the business world. Welcoming the host of CEO Chat, here's Gresham Harkless.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresham Harkless from CEO Chat, powered by CBNation.co and Blue 16 Media, choice for all your web design, SEO, and digital marketing needs. And this was a bit of a different interview. This was a who's interviewing who that we put together where it was just three of us sitting around just talking about, you know, certain things related to digital marketing, everything from like how we got started in business, future trends that we see in digital marketing, even mistakes that we see people make. But it's literally us just kind of sitting around, just asking questions of each other. It wasn't like an interview of this person or a solo podcast where one person spoke the entire time. It's just an opportunity for myself, Eric Koch of Creative Marketing Zone, and Frank Goodman and Bleeding Bulb to really just, you know, touch on some of the things that were happening in business, some of the things that we see in our specific world, and just perspective and things that we feel in having a conversation would also be a benefit to hearing as an entrepreneur and business owner. So I thought this was really powerful just again, because it wasn't scripted. It wasn't, you know, say this here or you get the questions before. It was literally us just sitting around talking about all these things related to digital marketing trends and all these phenomenal things, how podcasting has, you know, impacted, you know, some of our businesses and things like that. And if you want to make sure to, of course, check out, you know, all the different interviews. I've been, you know, blessed enough to have had, you know, Eric and Frank on my podcast. Eric's on the CEO Chat podcast number 75, and Frank, check out the I Am CEO podcast number 48. And really what you can do is kind of envision like us just all sitting around at like a coffee shop and just literally talking about business. But the only difference was we actually had microphones so you can hear what we were kind of talking about at that point. But, you know, again, we weren't at a coffee shop or anything. We were actually at the headquarters for Alejo Media, where Anna Davalos from Alejo actually allowed us to get the opportunity to record there. And that was pretty awesome. And if you want to check out her interview, of course, check out I Am CEO number 47, where I had the opportunity to interview her as well. But again, you know, this is really powerful, this general opportunity, us just kind of just talking about, you know, all these things that are going on in business and how it can impact and benefit you as an entrepreneur and business owner. So definitely, you know, sit back and enjoy this Who's Interviewing Who, featuring myself, Eric Koch, and Frank Goodman.
So I wanted to kick everything off because I had both of you guys like on my podcast. So I had opportunity to hear your stories, hear what you got started. But it's funny when I was talking with you, Eric, I feel like I had the most connection because like when I was on your podcast, actually, we talked about I used to work at Circuit City and you worked at CompUSA. So we had like
Radio Shack.
There you go. We talked about like just working retail and getting started and all that stuff. So I wanted to hear, I guess, a little bit more about what got you guys started.
Oh, wow. I mean, well, Radio Shack got me started. I was kidding.
It's way back.
No, that was actually my first early sales experience. And the funny thing is, you know, my background is actually in sales. So it's cold calling, knocking on doors, pounding the pavement, smiling and dialing for dollars. I don't even know if they use those terms anymore, but if companies still use those practices. But yeah, that was my background for years. And I actually graduated with a marketing degree, but I didn't actually get into marketing until about 2010, 2011. And I want to say I faked it till I made it. So yeah, I actually started searching for jobs for social media at about 2011. And so that actually landed me, I got 13 job interviews in like 2 weeks at that time with all these different companies. And so when I'm on the interview, I actually, one company, they decided to hire me. And I remember coming home and I was like, shit, what do I do now? Like, I need to actually learn this shit. Social media. I was like talking it up during the interview, right. And they're like, they had all the buzzwords, you know? and then that was my first experience working in an agency. And then I worked there for about a year or so. And then I went off and worked for another company. But this actually, my company started off as a side business, you know, a side hustle for a couple of years. And then it got to a point where it couldn't be a side hustle anymore. You know, I had like four clients and I just couldn't work full time, do this. I was already burning the midnight oil, you know, every day of the week and on the weekends, and I have a family. So it was just, you know, I was just like, gosh, there's just not enough time in the day, you know? So I had to really just go off on my own. I actually took my last employer as one of my clients. I've been with them for a few years and I was doing great work for them. So I went up to them and said, hey guys, I've been doing great work for you guys. We love each other, so not like that, but yeah. So I was like, here's my recommended, you know, they already knew eventually I was going to go off on my own, but I said, here's my recommended pricing and scope of work, and let's do this thing. And they're like, so that helped ease it when I went off on my own. So that's kind of how it all got started for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not sure about the why. I mean, I'm still trying to figure that out. Sometimes it's like maybe because I wanted to sleep all day and not do my own thing, not work for the man, you know?
Yeah, surprise.
That wasn't the case. Yeah. But I love, you know, I honestly, I mean, being here with you guys, I mean, this is fun, you know? This is just, you know, I can't do this if I'm on a regular 9-to-5. And, you know, I'm honestly, I just feel like you guys, I'm too creative for a 9-to-5. So,
yeah. Same thing for you, Frank.
Yeah, I mean, I second a lot of that stuff. I mean, I was actually Radio Shack as well.
Were you? Okay, I didn't know that.
See, he didn't get with us people.
You didn't? Oh, okay. Not about Circuit City, though.
Yeah, I did Best Buy, though. But,
okay.
Best Buy,
what have
you. Definitely, it was needed at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the way that they even teach you how to go about sales and just even the way that you ask questions, the way that you go about conducting the whole conversation and kind of guiding that conversation, mm-hmm. really impactful. And that kind of opened me up to say, like, man, they make you feel like you can really sell anything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, you can really sell anything. So that was really helpful. And even when I was doing Best Buy, that was actually on the side. I was already doing Lockheed Martin and Booz Allen and all of that type of stuff. But I just decided to do it on the side just because I had time, as weird as that sounds. But, you know, it was good connecting with different people and still continuing to, like, polish up those skills, like interacting with people, getting into, you know, working on upsells and finding out, you know, tapping into emotion and things like that, you know.
Right.
It was kind of like experiments, running different experiments, yeah. And, you know, it's playing around and understanding a little bit more about psychology and things like that. So it piqued my interest a bit. But you know, we started as a tech shop. So, you know, my background is engineering. I did, like, undergrad computer engineering and grad system engineering. So everything was really about technology. And at some point I realized that, you know, all these products that we were creating for different customers, they didn't really know what to do with it after that. So it was kind of like I felt like we really weren't serving them in the best way possible, leaving them out there with this new website, thinking that if I make it, they will come.
Yeah.
Right. With the app, you put out an app and they just sit there. And so I was like, you know what? Like, as far as building a business, we had to build our own. Why wouldn't we share our experiences? Why wouldn't we continue to experiment more and just give that to the people? So that's when we kind of took it on and started going more in the marketing space. As far as us.
Oh, man, them Radio Shack days. It's so funny, man. Yeah, them customers walk in there. I never thought that. And then we were probably working around the same time at Radio Shack, but I just thought it was like a place where people go to get batteries or wires or stuff. But next thing you know, it's like we're popping cell phones. We're selling TVs. We're signing up for the Radio Shack card. We're maxing out that card.
Really? They didn't have all that stuff at the Radio Shack near me. I know I had I applied for Best Buy. They didn't hire me. That was my first job I applied to. But I got hired at Circuit City because they had all the commission people.
Yeah.
I guess they were hired right before me, and then they fired all them. So then they hired all of us out of high school. So I was making like $8.75 out of high school, and I was like a king. I thought I was going to make it. Yeah.
I was like,
just from that. That's like, crazy. I don't need to go to school or nothing. $8.75, I'll be good. Yeah,
that's funny.
Exactly. That's exactly how it was. But you know,
oh, man.
Yeah. But it's so funny because I learned so many like people's, because like what you were talking about, I started thinking about like the upsells and all that stuff. Do you want to get the maintenance package with that? Like all that stuff, you still start using now, but that was really like the foundation of everything I kind of felt like. So
yeah, they had some program. It was like always be accessorizing or something. Like, so it's like they buy the cell phone, then you got to sell them the case and the charger.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's like,
that's where the money comes from anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
The main device is not the profit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, their own Radio Shack stuff. Yeah, but true. I truly believe that, you know, and I don't know. I've run into marketers a lot. I don't know if you guys do as well, but they don't have the sales background. They don't have any type of emotional connection, or they feel like they're good at maybe behind the scenes or working stuff, you know, digital stuff or social media. But when it comes to like actual having conversations that actually like build relationships or even, you know, sales process type stuff, it's like it's totally awkward for them, and they don't feel comfortable with it. So I say that, you know, I think it's important for anybody, no matter what business or background you're in, you know, have some sales experience, you know, at least figure it out, find out, get uncomfortable, because I mean, I don't mind if somebody says no to me now. I mean, it's like no means
it's
next.
Closer to
know?
A yes. Exactly. Closer to a yes.
Right.
And it's got to be like one of the most important pieces to growing a business.
No question.
If you can't sell.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not an option. Like, right. This is something that is required.
Yeah, I met
at some point you have to learn.
Yeah, I met a former IT consultant, and I was like, well, why did you, he works for a company now, and I was like, why did you, decided to stop your consultancy? And he's like, because I hated sales.
That's crazy. Yeah. What's funny, it's like they say sales is the lifeline of the business. I think Mark Cuban says like the reason that businesses go out of business is not because of anything other than like a sales. Yeah. So if you're not making enough sales and stuff like that. But I feel like most people that start businesses, they're really good at something, but usually that's not sales. So they just start a business around like whatever it is they're good at, and then they forget that you have to actually sell stuff to be in business.
Yeah, and I don't think like sales, I mean, maybe some people, it's the word sales that maybe gets people all like a bad taste in their mouth, you know? So, you know, I'm more of like, you know, it's like you're a consultant in a sense, you know, I mean, we could just be talking shop and just like having a good time, having a good conversation, and maybe something comes out of it and it's like, you know, hey, you know, that turns into a sale. You know, it's like, it's not like used car salesman and, you know, slimy type stuff. You
insurance
know?
Guys.
Exactly. I mean, as long as you're always giving value, right? And that's what the most important thing is, especially in digital marketing these days. It's like always be giving value. So
exactly.
And that's the thing I always say, like, don't go for the sale, just build the relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Just like make sure that you're giving that value and building that relationship, because the relationship is the core of everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you can build that trust, if you can build that credibility, the sale is naturally going to follow.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, just let it flow.
Exactly.
Know? It's like on LinkedIn when people reach out to you, and the next thing you know, they're like trying to shove their product down.
I got a workshop coming up next week.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to sign up?
I was like, who the hell are you?
I don't even know your name.
It's like, you know, I meet you for the first time and I'm trying to pitch a marriage proposal.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Can we get the first base of these first? You know? Work ourselves
right. Right. No, that's funny. Yeah. It's crazy. A lot of people don't get that, like how big the relationship part is. And it's like the long game. And people just like, they want to push, and they do it on social media. I know probably know too. Like, I say it all the time. It's like, you know, like Gary Vee says, you know, jab, jab, right hook. You give, give, then you ask. But you don't just say, hey, I got this, I got that, and buy this, buy that.
Yeah.
You know, you turn people off from that. So
exactly. Yeah. I mean, I see that all the time. Like clients, a lot of clients don't, especially mine, don't understand that. And when it comes to social media, they think that it's just an advertising platform, which, you know, you can run ads and you can target audiences, as you guys know, and you can, but like, those are cold. That's a cold audience. You know, it's not like going to Google and actually searching and finding the answer to your question. People don't go on social media to look at ads. People actually go on there to avoid ads. You know? So you're working with a cold audience. So you really have to, that's why it's like, it's hard. You know, you have to like have that good call to action. You have to get them to stop in their tracks and having that good call to action, a good image, the good video. And then from there, you got to like retarget them. So it's not like as easy as some people think it is, you know, when it comes to social media. That's why I truly believe the real power of social media is building relationships with folks and networking and just going that route versus trying to focus your energy on ads, you know? Play the long game, you know?
And even as far as the ads go, it's like, you don't really want to just do ads without a strategy either, right?
Right.
You really should be thinking more, you know, from a holistic view. You should really just be focusing on, okay, this and then what? You shouldn't really, like, I believe you shouldn't really run your business off of ads. So there should be other streams. Like, that can't be your primary way of making money. Because then, like, ad prices go up and then what? Home leaves, then what? It's just too much weight on that one source. So it's very important, like, that you actually come up with a strategy, because marketing is not ads. Like, that's a component. Like, that's just a little piece. You know, that's a piece of the puzzle. So it's important for your marketing strategy that you're thinking across, you know, more than just social media, more than just, you know, running ads and things like that.
You know, it's funny because when I do some presentations sometimes, I'll say, like, you know, they talk about the average millionaire, you know, has like 7 or 8 streams of revenue.
Right.
It's like, you should have that same mentality when you're running your business. It shouldn't just be ads. It should be face-to-face networking referrals. Facebook ads, maybe then Google ads. You're getting business from everywhere. But like, most people are like, I get all my business from word of mouth. I don't need to do anything else. I don't need to have a website. I don't need to do SEO. I don't need an app. I don't need any of that stuff. Everything comes to me word of mouth. But what happens if that dries up?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you going to do?
Yep.
So.
That's true. Yeah.
And on top of what you just said, like, beyond just like saying, oh, I just get word of mouth, like, people are growing these huge followings, like these cults or whatever. So where it's like, okay, when it comes time to like move online and everyone else has this crazy following, like, you gotta be so far behind. If you don't consider, like, that internet is here to stay, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
And eventually your people are gonna be online and they're gonna find better offers or other offers. It's gonna really be a relationship that's gonna keep them in tune with you, and it's gonna be getting regular information from you. And what better way than over the internet? You can't just run into each other every
forever.
And continue to show your value. What's easier than following them everywhere, because they're gonna have a device everywhere.
That's
kind of like where, like, Facebook groups and stuff like that are really coming to play. And, you know, that's having that community where people can come together. And I actually, somebody was asking me, like, they're trying to build out a community, and I'm just like, why would you? It's so hard to, like, build a community, right? As you guys know, you have to, like, put in a lot of work, whether it's through podcasting or YouTube videos or doing whatever. It's just really hard, but it's easier to play in somebody else's sandbox, you know, like, go into their group and start, like, jumping in on the comments and, like, you know, because then people, you start building relationships that way. And then that leads into something from there. So versus trying to create a group and then invite people and expect them to start participating.
It's go, like, whole idea is go where people are spending time. Like, what you talked about before, like, understand the psychology of people there, because, like, people are going on Facebook not to look at ads. People are going on Google so that they're searching for something specific. So you understand that, rather than trying to, like, force feed somebody someplace they're not going to spend time. So
I mean, because it can get really confusing on, and don't get me wrong, you can run ads on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or places like that and have a good return on investment, but you've got to be really smart about it. Like, there's got to be like all these funnels and like all moving parts. It's like a shell game. You know? It's like, it's not like just run one ad and that's it. It's like, you got to have a series of ads. You got to be split testing. You got to be, you know, you got to, it's all those moving components and pieces. And that takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. Yeah. So, you know.
So you mean you just can't boost a post and get it? Yeah. Right, yeah. What? You can't do that?
You can't. Facebook will make you think that, you know.
Well, I know, right? $20.
Exactly. $20. Just boost this for $20.
You'll be a millionaire, right? Makes sense.
No, it doesn't work that way.
That's crazy. But yeah.
But thank God for YouTube. I mean, yeah. I mean, YouTube is like free university. I mean, I'm just like, somebody hired me to do something like about a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, typical me, I shouldn't probably say this here, but I'm just like, fake it till you make it sometimes, you know? It's like, yeah, sure, I know how to do that. You know, I've had people on my podcast that talk about how to do it. And then so this person pays me and I'm like immediately on YouTube, like
trying to figure out how to do
learning how to do it.
But no, that's what a lot of people do. It's funny. I did it. And it's funny. I was listening to Kevin Plank, the guy that started Under Armour. And they were talking about how he had, I guess, warmware gear or whatever. And he was like at the University of Maryland. And they were like, this is really good. Do you have something in coldware gear? Do you have something a little bit longer? He's like, of course I do. Didn't have it. Went to his grandma's basement and started making it right there. All of a sudden, this dude's a billionaire, you know? Exactly. So you got to sometimes, you know, figure out how to, what they say, make the parachute on the way down.
Yeah, that's true.
You just jump out and then you'll figure it out.
It's the day and age we live in. I mean, it's like...
there's so much information.
Like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's out there. I mean, sure, I can figure it out. And like, they don't want to do it themselves. So that's why they hired me.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'll learn it and do it for you. And then that now I can use that as a service that I offer. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You definitely got to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And if you're confident, then you know you have the ability to learn.
Yeah,
that's a huge skill, like the ability to learn how to figure out how to do something. Like, it's hard to put that on a resume or something like that, but like, it's something that's huge. Right. Figure shit out ability. It's one word.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're hired. Okay.
Yeah, I took my team to the Super Bowl on Madden, you know?
Yeah.
They don't know that.
What life skills do you have?
I'm applying for the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. You know? I took my team to the Super Bowl.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. But no, that's
on Madden.
It's so interesting. But I wanted to ask you, so like, I always tell people, like, everybody doesn't need an app. Yeah. But like, is that the case? Do people
absolutely.
Is it? Okay. How do you figure out when you need one then?
I think it depends on your goals. Everything is about your business goals, right? Like, anytime that anyone asks for any type of service or product, you're going to initially say, for what or why? Like, what is the point? What is the purpose? Like, if the person wanted a website, like, but they didn't want to put any energy into doing anything for the website, or they didn't really need to display all of these services and products, that's when you're saying, like, why aren't you considering social media? You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're on social media and you're doing all these products and things like that, and you realize that, hey, this source may die one day. Do I really want to put all the energy and only have a following on social media when I could be building my following on my website that I know I control?
Right.
I know that you can't put a price tag on that. Like, it's
right.
mine.
Right.
You know, so it really just depends on what a person needs. You know, if they come in and saying, hey, I'm really trying to boost my productivity, maybe there's a piece of software or an app that already exists that you can leverage, and you have to weigh if it makes more sense for you to invest in creating your own, where you're going to have the most flexibility possible,
mm-hmm.
or if you're going to go with something that's already created and save a couple bucks, but you're going to probably pay the rest of your life. You get what I mean?
Right.
So depending on what the goal is, whether it be, you know, increased productivity, or you have a new idea, you still just like having a new idea. Like, there's an idea validation phase where you need to find out if there really is a market. Like, what is the competition? What are they actually making money? If you're trying to go the funding route, are other people like you getting funded? Like, what type of money are they getting? What type of traction do they have? So it's just so many different things you got to take into consideration anytime you ask for anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, for what? We always ask why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Yeah, that's one of the big questions. It's like, you know, I don't have any kids or anything, but, you know, I used to get in trouble whenever I asked my mom why. You know what I mean? Because, like, why should I do this? Why should I do that?
My but it's funny. Did that. Yeah.
There you go. But it's like, it's funny because when you sit down with the business owner and you say, oh, I want a website, or I want to be on Facebook, or I want to be on Snapchat, like, why do you think you should be there?
Yeah.
Oh, because my 2-year-old told me that I should be on Snapchat or something like right. that. So it's like, they don't really start asking these why questions. They just say, okay, I'm just going to do this because I heard it was right, but it may not even align with my strategy.
And the same thing happens in sales, right? Like, a lot of times people will be like, I need more customers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do you need more customers? Because I need more money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why do you have to get more money from getting new customers? What about the customers you already have?
Right.
Can you get to know them a little bit better? Is there right. something else you can offer? Can you capitalize on that? Because it's going to be more expensive for you to bring
get more customers yeah.
than to just nurture the ones that you already have
right.
and upsell them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's just like really thinking about what are you really trying to get, and then trying to create a strategy around that. Because with sales, people get it caught up all the time. They're like, I need more people. I need more. This.
Yeah.
It's like social media.
I need more followers.
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
You know what I mean? Like, if you're just randomly getting followers and they're not targeting all these other things, and depending on the platform, and if you're trying to sell something, if they're not converting, how does that really benefit your ultimate goal?
Right.
If your goal is to make more money. You know, so it's like, understand why you're going to put this energy and time into these different things, because everybody think that it's standard. I need to have 1 million followers.
Mm,
it's just not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have, in my opinion, you could have 1 million followers and not even maybe 1% of them are actually engaged or actually mm-hmm. will. If you put a product out there, would any of those people actually buy your product or service versus a community of 50 followers or 100 followers who, if you put a product or service out there, they would be like, yes, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'd rather have that than be a bunch of followers that are and be broke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's all about having your tribe.
Yeah. But it's vanities type stuff that, you know,
yeah.
so people are always like comparing themselves to other people. So
yeah, that's why I was like, I was wondering if it was part, you know, the advertising piece, because I feel like, you know, most advertising is always telling you you don't have something.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to do something else. So, mm-hmm. oh, I want to look like that. You know, because so I need to go, you know, sign up for this Jenny Craig, you know, weight loss, whatever.
Yeah.
So I look like that. So it's always like making you feel like you're not enough, whether it be followers or whatever. It always is like that human psychology.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, we as marketers like to call it social proof. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so we always tell people, you know, if you see an ad from somebody and they've gotten 5 followers, I mean, it's like, why would I want to join that party when I see an ad from someone that's got hundreds of thousands of followers and looks like, hey, I want to jump into that party.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, it's psychology. It's like social proof, you know? So people are, that's what, you know, I've used that term or concept before with some clients, you know, just to say, hey, you know, the only reason why we should get followers is because it's going to help you attract more followers, you know. And I'm not talking about
your credibility.
Exactly. You're right.
That's
exactly. Yeah. Even though it's kind of stupid, but it's just like, but it is what it is. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like fake testimonials on a website.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you don't really know if they're real. They're
right.
just written testimonials, but it still makes people feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's just like how we've been trained. This is what you trust.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah.
And so knowing that about people, that's how part of the strategy.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's you know, we know what makes people most comfortable, tapping into that emotion.
Yeah.
You're missing this.
Yeah.
You know, this is what's going to happen if you don't do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Fear or all of that type of stuff. So, yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny, like even from like an SEO perspective, like if people are searching online, a lot of people don't realize you can manipulate the rankings to show up higher. So a lot of people assume that what shows up higher is the most trusted, you know, service or whatever. So if I'm looking for a personal trainer and I type it in Alexandria, whatever shows up number one, that must be the best. They don't even realize that that person might not even be a garbage personal trainer, but just has a really good tech guy or SEO guy that can manipulate it to show up. So again, same type of concept.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, dude. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
What are some of the things you guys kind of see, like, I guess, for the future of marketing, like ways that I guess maybe even business owners and entrepreneurs can kind of prepare themselves for it?
I mean, in my space, I think really, not my space, but.
You're going to my space.
We're
going
to go back to my space.
What's the name? Steve? No, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom.
Yeah. So I, yeah, exactly, MySpace is making a comeback. It's just, you know, I don't just do social media like you guys know. Like I really like to do creative consulting for companies. So it's, I think that a lot of these newer stuff like AR and AI and stuff like that are really going to take over. I mean, it's like, you know, you flip open a magazine and, you know, it's, people still read magazines. So you flip open a magazine and you see something that you like and you just scan your phone over it and immediately it purchases it from Amazon, you know, that kind of thing. It's, I expect to see a lot more of, I think maybe in real estate, that'll be a big thing, you know, and, even maybe test driving a car. They have that these days. You know, it's it's like you can experience that. So it's more of like the experiential type stuff, you know, in marketing that I'm excited for and how companies can tap into that or how they can leverage that for their business. But another thing too is influencer marketing, you know. So I mean, it's certain platforms, it seems like that's really gonna take off, like Instagram that already has. So it's just one of those things, like, you know, how do you build relationships with influencers, micro influencers, macro influencers? How do you build relationships with them? And there's even agencies that are out there that you can hire, you know, as you guys know, and that's all they do is they're the middle person for you to help you work that relationship with the influencer. And so I definitely see that more in the next year, a few years at least.
No, I would definitely agree with all of that. I think that augmented stuff is definitely probably here to stay this time. It's not new technology, but this time around, it's probably, it fits better with our times. I definitely agree with all of that. I think another thing is, as far as TV goes, I think that, you know, if you're looking at Netflix and some of these other ones, they're starting to incorporate certain channels and things, and eventually, like, we have to be able to start to segment people. You know, right now it's still mass marketing, so it has to move to where TV is going to be provided through stream so that we can pay more attention to people's behavior and then be able to easily market to different people in that way, because it's already shown. Like, I mean, even if you look at Netflix, you know what type of movies people like and what people like to do.
Yeah,
and that's going to speak to personality and other things like that. And then also when we start pulling in these channels, as these cable providers realize that this mass marketing no longer works, right? And this advertising and things like that, like, it's too expensive. You're going to cut costs by actually targeting, you know, certain individuals. And it also brings more people into the market. It gives everyone more money. So it's definitely probably going to be something, I think.
That's cool. Right. Did you guys see that thing on, I was like an article on LinkedIn. It was like, Netflix is going to test out a choose your own ending type thing.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Well, as a viewer, we may be able to choose how we want the ending to go.
That's kind of like video games type stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's good.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. We're going to test it out.
Like, it is more engagement, though.
But you'd be like, I want them to die.
Yeah. You know? I didn't want the Titanic to sink.
So they would create the ending after that, or they would just show you different ending based off what you say?
I don't know. I think it's kind of like a choose your own adventure type book, you know?
It's like
thing.
Those, what are those, RPG games or whatever?
Yeah.
You can like figure out however you do. Everybody has a different experience on how they play the games.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's throughout the whole movie.
It would be kind of neat. Yeah, their own experience.
It'd be cool. It'd be like a Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'd be pretty neat. But they're going to test it. I think it's for, like, maybe just for ones that are on Netflix, you know, not like a Steven Spielberg type thing. Maybe. Right. Who knows? Maybe he is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the Titanic doesn't sink, you know?
Keeps going.
I don't want it to sink.
No, that's crazy. Well, it's funny because all of it kind of comes down to, like, the consumer having more power. So it's like, how do we make an experience? I want you to engage with my product more. So I'm going to give you exactly what you want. I'm going to let you have the keys. You make the decision. So you're probably going to want to watch it all the way through because you didn't want the Titanic to sink.
Right.
So now you get to see everybody having, like, a party boat or something like that instead. So it's just interesting, like, the way, how much data everybody has and how they're using that data to kind of customize the experience for everybody.
That's
true.
Yeah.
That's a really good.
I mean, I was, I actually work with a client. It's a subcontract account, but they do like immersive displays, like inside museums and stuff and stadiums. But But it's like, you know, they have that now with like certain a museum called the Comedy Museum in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. And it's based, your experience is based on, you know, it's tailored towards you, and you can be in the shoes of a comedian. And, right. and so I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
That is cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can literally do anything, and you probably never have to leave your house.
Yeah, that's true. It's, yeah, that, that too, yeah.
It's kind of freaky at the same time.
It is.
If you think about how removed people are, as far as like,
I know,
you know, we're gonna have some very awkward people walking.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously.
Like the social aspect,
yeah,
it's gonna be lacking if it's not through a keyboard. Like, yeah. It's gonna be very difficult for exactly. people to like connect.
Yeah, it's yeah. like we're wearing those glasses. You know,
I know,
like,
right?
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
It's like, yeah, when the Bluetooth came out. It's like, are you talking to me? No, I'm listening. I'm talking to somebody here. Nah, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, but, oh my gosh.
It's
definitely crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember because I saw, because I have all these like Google Homes and like Amazon Alexa in my house. And then I remember I have a Fire Stick on my TV, and I always buy like this protein. And then I cut on my Fire Stick, and they had a commercial that the protein that I was thinking about getting yeah. that was targeted directly to me. And I was like, this is crazy and scary at the exact same time because right. I've been thinking about doing it. And I don't even know if I searched for it or it was in my cart.
It does on your phone too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you could I think you could turn the feature off, but I literally think they listen to the comment.
I believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, they said the,
because I opened my phone and like an ad be up based on the conversation I'm having.
Yeah.
So we're going to see Under Armour.
Exactly. Under Armour.
Right.
Word
or anything.
Right.
I've heard from multiple people. They're like, dude, yeah, I turn on my phone sometimes and they're like, yeah, right there. Like, so they're like on the internet.
That's crazy.
They must be yeah. targeted or the government's on them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're probably ahead of the curve because they're probably going to lock down on that. You can't do that.
Yeah, I saw this movie. It was called IT or something like that. It had James Bond, Pierce Brosnan in it.
Yeah.
Like, he had all that stuff set up in his house and like he had hired a guy to come inside there and reprogram or do something to it, and apparently Pierce Brosnan, I forget the name in the movie, he pissed off the IT guy and he wired everything to like go off against him, like like so his house turned against him and everything. So, it was crazy.
It'd be like Alexa.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, right? I was about to say Alexa turned the TV off.
It's like,
it's on.
It's like water sprayed everywhere. Like,
my favorite part.
Exactly. Yeah. That's hilarious. But yeah. That's when the what did it say, the technology is controlling us?
Exactly. Yeah.
We're not controlling it anymore.
Like Terminator, you know,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Riding against the machines, robot. Yeah. All right, robot, yeah. 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 Robot. Yeah. They could start, they go against the humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I do, yeah. I mean, the thing I like most about now is that because I felt like for so many years, like the sales environments, you know, it was kind of like it's silos. You know, you have sales over here, you have marketing over here. And it was just like the two never really, like when I worked with some of these companies, the two never yeah. really jived. Yeah. It was like marketing would always try to tell us what to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not on the phones. Leads. I'm the one talking right. to these people. You're not. Like, and then they, you know, they acted a certain way and was like these douchebags, you know, like to mm-hmm. me, I looked at them like that, but not all of them were, but so, you know, so I'm glad that now it feels like marketing has become more aligned with sales. So, you know, we're held accountable to a lot more stuff. Like we can't just say, hey, we're going to put up this ad and, you know, billboard or whatever. And you'll get, you know, 10,000 people who are going to drive by it every day. It's like now it's like, you know, we want to know how many leads this is getting, how many opt-in conversions this is getting, what type of sales are we getting, you know? So it's like becoming very integrated with the sales process. So I really like that.
Yeah. That's the, you know, the big part about that, because that's what I usually always say about all this digital stuff. I said the biggest reason for it is because you literally can track and see just about everything.
Yeah.
You don't send out a newspaper and wonder if somebody read it. You can literally find out if
exactly.
somebody read it. So like you can put heat maps on your website. Yeah. You can literally see where they're clicking or not clicking. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, now you have your clients and they say, okay, well, I want to know how much this stuff, how many clicks is this getting, because mm-hmm. you can track all that stuff. How many calls am I getting? All that stuff.
Are your services really converting?
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But it, I mean, I think it's gonna. It's funny because I was gonna ask you guys if you felt like if the I guess the digital marketing world was really competitive, but I feel like it's going to separate people because people that are actually performing are gonna be able to say I've done X, Y, and Z with this client. Look at the number of calls. Whereas somebody who may not be as accountable or as good at what it is that they claim to do will not be able to kind of showcase that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, especially. I mean, you can bullshit all you want. I mean, people read between the lines, you know, but if you've got the numbers to back it up or the stats to back it up, you know, then
I still think there's this level of like a lot of the business owners, they aren't like involved enough or educated enough to really understand the BS.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you can still have that one up, but I think the time is coming to where it's going to be more common language across, you know, the board.
Yeah.
For people to understand what's really going on.
And, you know, word of mouth, I mean, that like, you know, we were talking about that earlier, but, you know, that's spread. So, you know.
Yeah.
You get one person that just says this guy is a bullshitter, and then
it's trending on Twitter.
Exactly. That's not what I wanted.
Exactly. But yeah, it's definitely gonna, you know, showcase like who's really doing what they say they're doing and who's not, and then you'll definitely be able to find that out pretty fast. So
absolutely.
Yeah. If there was, I guess the takeaways probably is the biggest thing. Like, if there were big things as far as digital marketing that you would want a business owner to know, what would you kind of tell them?
I mean, in my opinion, I think that more companies are going to be spending in digital marketing, but don't put all your eggs in that one basket. So, I mean, there's lots of ways to market your business effectively. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, just because somebody says you need to, they hear the word or you need to be on Twitter or whatever, it's like that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be on that platform. There's lots of ways you can effectively market. It could be including offline marketing. So good old fashioned shaking hands, networking, being comfortable with that, not just saying, hey, I'm just going to focus everything online. So definitely, you know, use online to your advantage, but be smart about it, be strategic and go from there.
Yeah, I would always just really emphasize, like, always do the whole goals thing. Like, really make sure you understand your goals and what you're really trying to accomplish, you know, and then you can start to map a strategy to that. But, I mean, I think a lot of business owners need to understand that marketing isn't something that's easy or guaranteed. Like, there's no one method that is guaranteed. There's no guaranteed win. There's no guaranteed anything. It's about experimenting. It's about trying different things because everything is going to be specific to what you're doing at that time and that moment. And you can't look at someone else and what they're doing and assume that if I just bring this to my business, I'm going to get the same results. It's different every time. So it's something that you need to explore. It's something that you just, it takes some time for you to find your way. Just make sure it's in line with your goals, you know.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I've always said that, you know, overall you should have some type of strategy. So I always say, like, I'm a journalist at heart, so I always feel like, you know, I always say you are your own media company. So the idea is that you create content. Well, you figure out what you're good at, what you're not good at, and then you try to spend time in that sandbox, so to speak, like you said, Eric. But then you really focus on creating content, creating, you know, whatever it is for your target market. And you're not trying to do everything, do all those things, but you understand that it's a process as well, too. So it's just not, like we talked about, you boost the ad for $20 and then you're a millionaire. Right. You know, you have to experiment with different copies, different pictures, all those different things so that you can try to see success. So I think those are definitely great points.
Yeah, and you're talking about like how it's going to evolve over the next year. You know, definitely people who practice what they preach, I mean, is definitely a big one too, because I mean, you talked about this before. You get a business card from somebody and they say they're a website developer, but their business card sucks. I mean, it's like, you know, it's probably more than likely that their website sucks. And why would I hire you to design my website when it's like, or same thing with content marketing. I mean, this one guy I know, it's literally, you've met him before. It was like, you know, he does content marketing for clients, but he doesn't do his own content marketing. So I'm like, how do you sell that? You know, you gotta reinvest back into your business.
Yeah.
You gotta treat yourself as your own client. So it's like, you can't. And I think a lot of business owners lose sight of that. It's like, yeah, I mean, you're gonna be busy working with clients. We all are. But at the same time, it's like, you gotta position yourself and treat yourself as a client so that you can sell yourself easier to other people. But also that helps if you're trying to build a brand. So,
yeah.
And until you saying an investment thing, like, yeah, invest in your business, and to just, like, really push, like, it's a process, and you're learning from it no matter what. Like, it's not losses when you're trying something, and it doesn't work out. Like, don't get discouraged because you tried something, and you think it just doesn't work. It may just be a tweak. It may just be something very small, but just, like, explore. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you definitely want to... Don't explore everything.
Right.
But you know, do your research and find, you know, some traction, and then just make tweaks and try to increase that. But yeah, I mean, don't get discouraged because things don't work out. Like, it's a process. Nobody gets it the first time around.
Yeah. Yeah, and people forget, like, how new this digital marketing world is. Like, it's, I mean, what Facebook is and all this stuff it's coming out with and all this stuff it's taking from other companies as well, too, is fairly new. Yeah. So, like, a lot of people don't realize that it requires a lot of experimentation. It requires a lot of thinking outside of the box, because there's not going to be anybody that's been doing digital marketing for 30 years because it's still fairly new. Mm-hmm. So it's all in trying to understand, like, hey, these digital marketing tools have changed and they evolved. And while the marketing principles might come over, it's still like a new playpen, so to speak. So
I mean, this stuff changes every day.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's crazy.
I mean, I was in the ads manager yesterday or the day before, and I was, you know, from 3 months ago, I was like, you know, I knew where everything was, and I was like, we had all these new features, and I'm just trying to figure out, and I'm like hitting the little I mark, you know, to get more information, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I got this, like, a whole learning process again.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's weird because if you look at it, like, just Facebook Ads Manager and all that stuff, which used to be the Power Editor, it just looks so confusing, like, from the outsider. It's like very clunky, very, like, and I mean, they're getting better about it now, but it's just like, and sometimes you got to watch out because they'll have you edit your placements. For instance, it's getting a little granular here, but they'll automatically have your placements on all these different places, like, not just the feeds, but it'll be also on Instagram or Instagram stories. And then also, so you have to be careful about little stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's why there's going to be a lot more, I guess, specialists too, like, in the marketing world, because it is so complex. It's not just, you know, being on Facebook is not just, you know, posting something anymore. You have to do a lot more to it. Yeah. So now you need somebody that actually does know, okay, it just changed 2 minutes ago, so I know exactly, like, what the updates are, or else you're not going to be able to stay on top of it.
I mean, little nuances like having too much text on your image, right?
Right.
I mean, that's just, I see that all the time, but it's just like, I know when, obviously, when there's no engagement on the post, because you've got too much text on your image. It's like, you should keep that to a minimum. I mean, try to build a conversation around it, you know, not just post a link and then they don't want that anymore. So it's little stuff like that. But
going back to even when we were talking about relationships, making sure that when you are making these connections, rather be LinkedIn or whatever, lead with a compliment or lead with something
about
their business. Tell them that you actually read something that they're doing. Like, people forget about the whole purpose of social media is to be social, and a lot of people, they just want to gain from other people. So make sure you initiate with, like, I want to let you know that I'm paying attention to you. I've actually read your stuff. Because if you want them to read your stuff, start doing what you want them to do for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Instead of sending them that automatic, like, hey, also sign up for this, that, and the other, try just like, hey, I read your article. I think it's great content. I wish you the best. You know, I really would like to connect. Maybe we can catch coffee or something. Or maybe we can jump on the phone at some point. Or just, like, leave it at, I read this and I think it's great.
Yeah.
And then give it some time. Give it, like, 3 months. Like, don't.
It's not a Pop-Tart.
Right.
You just put it in the oven and pop it up.
So quick to put the sale in there. Like, you're doing it across the board. Like, you're reaching out to a lot of people. So give it time and let that relationship build. Because when you start posting, they're going to be like, it's just natural for people. They're going to want to give you back the energy you gave them, right? So if I'm always liking your stuff, if I'm always engaging with your content, if I post something, you're going to think, like, man, I should go ahead and like your stuff because he always pays attention to my stuff.
Yeah.
I should read his stuff. He always reads my stuff. So just think about the psychology of a person. Like, people naturally want to give back to you that same energy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
It works like that. You know?
I was going to ask you if you experience this because you have a podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, have you felt like it's become kind of like a sales tool? Like, you're just like, because, like, a lot of people I've had on the show are just like people I want to connect with because I know they could be a potential referral source for me. And we build that partnership, and I've gotten referrals and I pass referrals to them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, having the podcast now, it's like, you know, doing it for over a year, but it's just like you've been grinding, you know, with yours. it's like it's a natural segue for people to say, hey, you know, I like what you're up to, like on LinkedIn, would love to connect or maybe have you on my show.
Yeah.
It makes it easier to
know.
Definitely.
Mutual benefit,
right?
Yeah. It's free PR.
They want to come on your show.
Yeah.
And you want them on your show.
Yeah.
Y'all both want to deliver that information
mm-hmm.
to the same audience. So it's just natural.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean? It just makes sense. Anytime you can get a connection like that, so it only makes sense.
Yeah, and people like to talk about for themselves. Sure. So.
Yeah, definitely. Who doesn't love to do that?
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, it's funny as you say that. Yeah, because that's been my mentality to try to use the podcast as a way to build relationships as well, too. Mm-hmm. And it's always been like a long-term investment. Like, you know, obviously I do the podcast and create content, but I try to, you know, I've had people like on my blog and stuff, but I tried to take it to another level where I wanted to set up a phone call at the very least just to know who's on the blog and try to maybe have them come on the podcast, and then you spend a few minutes or an hour or whatever together, and then all of a sudden maybe that does turn into a relationship or something like that. But at the very least, like we were talking about, you know, understanding who you are, understanding like what value you have to bring to somebody, I just try to think about how can I give mm-hmm. and provide value that's in alignment with my talents, and then maybe it's a good win-win, and then maybe that just turns into a client, maybe it turns into a relationship, who knows? But you know, if you provide value to people, I'm a strong believer everything comes back.
Yeah, I mean, you're impacting lives, so it's like you're literally one person at a time, and it's like you never know, you could be in a situation. I had somebody recently that was on my podcast a while back mm-hmm. that was like needing some help with their email marketing, and I was like, I know the person, you know, right. So it's like pass it off, and she got the business. So it's just like it's just the power of that, because you build these relationships with folks. I had somebody who was on mine who runs an SEO agency in Arlington, Knucklepuck. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're hiring me to help them with some creative marketing stuff. So it's like, it's because he was on my podcast twice. It's just like, you know, you built up this relationship with each other, and it's like a great tool to network with one another. So,
yeah, I mean, that speaks like to that energy thing. It's like, if you want referrals, give more referrals.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
giver's game.
Giver's game, yeah. We all know that.
You know what I mean? It's like, whatever you want, like, just right. do it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's gotta be reciprocated, you know?
Right. You mean I gotta give to get something back? What? Yeah.
What? I thought that was take is take.
Right. I just put up a website. People aren't just gonna come and knock on my door.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. Customers. Scale up.
That's what's scaling.
1%
I'll be there. Yeah, exactly. If I get 1% of 1% of this 100 million, then I'll be good.
Yeah.
Nah, but it's interesting. Yeah,
that's fun. Yeah.
But no, I appreciate you guys like taking some time out. I guess I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of just say how people can get a hold of you, a little bit more about your business and anything else.
Yeah, I guess I'll go first. TheCreativeMarketingZone.com, that's where I'm at. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. So I got a lot of freebie stuff you can take advantage of that, you know, it's feel free to take advantage of. And, you know, definitely I just tune into the podcast, man. I like to share ninja tips on the podcast. And the one thing that I like to do is not just like some podcasts where you hear stories about other people and their lives, and which is great. Mine is like actionable how to, this is how you're going to explode doing this strategy. So we actually share ninja creative tips is what we call it each week. So I enjoy that and sharing the wealth.
Yeah. And I was thinking that like, Eric definitely provides great content, and I've been on both his and Grash's podcast.
Yeah.
You know, great interviewers, and I thought that we kind of put together some good stuff. As far as me, you can find me at bleedingbulb.com. Bleeding, like you're bleeding. And Bulb is just really a bunch of ideas, so it's a little out of the box and a little crazy in a way. But we provide different growth hack products, just ways to help you grow, rather than from downloads to, you know, actual products that you can buy, like templates and things like that to kind of get you ahead, save you a little time and money. But our whole focus is really about coming up with cost-effective ways to grow your business. So that's what growth hacking is. You can find us LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. Those are probably where we're most active on. But, yeah.
Ooh, awesome. Well, again, I appreciate you guys. And, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thanks, Gresh. This is fun.
Yeah. Yes.